This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:16. This is the evening edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And next up, we're talking about immunization, particularly for the elderly, because it is already underway. The phase for senior citizens has begun. But a Malaysia Kini report showed that a high number of illegal, unregistered elderly care homes could actually be undermining these efforts. Here are some of the reasons why.
So according to Pakatan Harapan's Committee on COVID-19 Vaccinations, we have about 30,000 to 40,000 Malaysians above the age of 65 who are spread out across about 1,500 elderly care homes. However, if you look at a report by the World Bank in 2020, only 19% of elderly care homes in Malaysia are actually registered. Now, the Health Ministry and Social Welfare Department lists about 389. And where the problem comes in is that as we unroll our vaccination drive, having unregistered home makes it quite difficult to ensure who's actually signing up and whether we're reaching the people who need to be vaccinated.
Yes, because if we look at what's supposed to happen with registered care homes, right? JKM has said that they'll be sending medical personnel to these old folks homes to expedite the vaccinations. But they issued a notice in January of this year, asking these operators to submit information on residents, caretakers, the willingness to receive vaccines. So far, at least, we don't know whether any vaccines have been given via this. But the point is, that is how it would have rolled out with registered care homes. Now, the unregistered care homes, it gets a little bit more complicated because there are fears about how it might affect their business. People might not be registering the people within their care, or they might not be comfortable doing so, again, because of the legality or lack thereof of the business that they run. And if you think about the amount of old folks that we may have in these homes, I think that gives you some sense of the scope of the issue.
So the Health Ministry's Family Health Development Division's representative, Dr. Nuraliza Nordin Merican, has reportedly said that if illegal care homes come forward and get their residents registered and subsequently vaccinated, they are not going to be penalized. That said, I can imagine that if they're already running illegally, whether that's something we can expect them to do. There is also concern that they may not even know this in the first place because the communication on this isn't entirely clear. We have reached out to Khairi Jamaluddin, who is the coordinating minister for our vaccine rollout on this, but he wasn't available to speak to us in time for today's show. But I think that as we move forward, and particularly with the low uptake of senior citizens for this second phase of the vaccines, this is a cause for concern.
Yes, particularly if you're talking about citizens, senior citizens that may be in someone else's care and that therefore they're expecting that person to register them, right? They're just thinking, oh yes, this is rolling out. But you know what? I'm here and I usually have people taking care of me, so they will do it. And I think basically we need to communicate better, I think, in this instance. But we want to know, do you have any suggestions, any thoughts on how this could be improved, this aspect of the vaccination rollout? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Chai San Ting, who is the Senior Research Officer at the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging at University Putra Malaysia. San Ting, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So how have elderly care homes been coping during this pandemic? Could you help us understand?
I think it is an unprecedented situation for many old folks' homes, nursing homes or care centres. Basically, the entire residential aged care sector has been badly affected by the pandemic, not necessarily due to outbreaks, but also because due to the changes necessary for social distancing, a no visitors policy, and then a subsequent drop in public donations as well. So you can imagine that the aged care industry is generally pretty badly hit and affected by the pandemic.
Why is it important to get elderly care facilities involved when it comes to this immunization rollout?
Yeah, we have to understand that there are many different kinds of residential aged care facilities. So some homes are more targeted to taking care of high risk but stable elderly with multiple chronic illnesses with comorbidities. So definitely preventing an outbreak is very important, because if COVID-19 were to happen in any of these high-risk homes, what will happen is that we will have an outbreak, and the logistics involved would be actually quite horrible, actually, in the cases that we know of the 20 to 30 homes that have been infected, where it's very difficult to practice social distancing. You also have to compartmentalize your services. If your staff is affected, you need to go under a lockdown, and where will your replacement comes in, you know, or where can you move the 20 or 30 elderly that are not infected to other facilities? So these are the situations that we are dealing with for the past year or so, but it has been worsened by the latest wave, where most of the outbreaks in homes happened this year rather than last year.
So from the report that we're referencing on Malaysia Kini, it does seem like there are efforts to communicate with registered care homes, albeit at a slow pace. What do you think could be done here? What could be done to expedite this?
I think this is why sometimes there's always a silver lining to any situation. So in the past, probably the government did not felt it was necessary to reach out to many of these unlicensed or unregistered homes. You know, they don't really know that they exist, or they probably know that they are running an operation, but they do not take it seriously. So this problem definitely predates the COVID-19 pandemic. But what the current outbreak has done is that it has forced the authorities and the public, as well as law enforcement, to look at this issue seriously, as we can no longer, just let it by, you know, or let it be.
So reports do show that the number of illegal care homes outnumber the registered care facilities. And you mentioned, of course, that this isn't something that has only happened over the course of the last year. Could you talk us through some of the factors that have led to this?
Well, there are a few factors at play, but of course, primarily is the kind of regulations that we have. Do have time to go into detail of the various different acts and enactments, but majority of the homes are registered under the Department of Social Welfare, and only a handful of nursing homes, roughly about 20 of them, are registered under the Ministry of Health, under the private Medical Healthcare Facilities and Services Act. So in 2018, the government has actually passed a new law where they try and put all the aged care facilities together, but it is still not enforced because the regulations are still not out yet. So we are looking at a situation where even before the pandemic, we have a situation of many homes not being licensed, mostly either due to the inability for them to meet requirements. And in some of the cases, it's not really their fault because different municipalities have different regulations and different means of interpreting the bylaws. So you have also a situation where a lot of residential areas do not welcome what you call old folks homes or care centers in their housing area. So that has also created some issues against them being able to be licensed. And it is difficult to balance the issue of having a cost-benefit, a cheap care home being operational, but they don't really have the space to do so. That's one. And secondly, we are talking about whether it's economically viable. I think they are performing an essential service, taking care of the elderly, just like the kindergartens or taking care of children. However, in our culture and in this country's situation at this point in time, we do not have the right tools and policies to actually say that the government would actively support this industry by giving it tools, by giving it financial structures that can make it more sustainable and affordable to the general public.
So how, with this being the situation right now, right, and not likely to change in the near future, how can the government address the fears that these facilities have in terms of coming forward or volunteering information for the vaccine?
I think this is where interministerial cooperation and coordination is needed. I think if we look at it from a purely logistical point of view, it is quite a challenge to actually go to these homes and deliver the vaccination on site. You know, you need to have means of storing the vaccines. You also need to know how many dosage that you'll be using. And again, getting consent of the family members and the staff, that's another uphill task. So I think there are many mechanisms that we can peruse. I mean, vaccination is one of the tools that operators can use to keep their facilities safe. They should also go for routine COVID-19 testing for their staff. They should also implement infection control measures for their facilities. You know, this is where the public can help if they could donate what we call PPEs to these homes that need them. So all these add up to the cost and the bottom line of the home. So in larger facilities, they probably have ample manpower and resources to keep themselves safe. But we have a lot of homes that simply do not have the ability or the resources to prevent an outbreak. So this is where sometimes it is understandable why some homes would have to implement very draconian measures where they do not allow any visitors or they do not even allow their staff to go home and they have to live in together with the residents. So these are some of the steps that they have taken. But over a long period of time of more than a year, some of the strains are beginning to show. And with the current situation, we are a bit worried that if the vaccination rollout does not happen as quickly as it should, then we will have a disparity situation in our hands where elderly living in the community are being vaccinated regularly through MySejahtera at the vaccination centres. But the rollout for on-site vaccination at these homes are still not carried out, maybe until May, most likely.
Sinthing, we have about a minute left, but are there more robust ways to engage with elderly care homes, both registered and unregistered, when it comes to the vaccine rollout?
I think even before the COVID-19 pandemic or even before the vaccination comes around, there was a call, and I think this is something that is needed, which is what we call amnesty program, where we encourage as many homes to come forward, whether it's for the new law to take place or whatsoever, so that we can help them to see whether they can meet minimum requirements of the Act or a minimum requirements of care. So I think it is, I think the lawmakers, the policymakers, and the law enforcement, they all know that these homes perform a critical service to the community. But the question here is that we need to ensure some form of a minimum standard. So I think definitely the ministries should get together and put in more resources, whether it is for vaccination or whether it's an effort to reach out to all these homes, whether they are licensed or unlicensed, whether they employ foreign workers or not. I think on the operator's end, and especially for the clients, you know, elderly residents and their family members who use these services, they should actually make sure that compliance to current regulations are met. It is understandable if there are certain requirements that could not be met in the short term due to maybe build-up limitations or design flaws that cost quite a lot of money to rectify. But there's simply no excuse for all stakeholders to try and come together during this what we'll call an hour of need to actually sort out our priorities. We can overlook certain things during this critical period to get everyone vaccinated. But the long-term solution is still to ensure that everyone provides a service that meets some form of a minimum standard of care and to ensure the protection and the dignity of the elderly.
Santing, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
That was Chai Santing, Senior Research Officer with the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging at University Putra, Malaysia, talking about how unregistered elderly care homes may be at the moment undermining efforts for the vaccination rollout. Up next, the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.